Last week we started Impact. We're talking about impact, and we're talking about the impact that you have on other people around you. We talked about the impact that other people around you have on you. We talked about like leaving a legacy. I specifically talked about like how do you want to be remembered at your school, with people that you go to school with. We talked about like the idea of if you're an athlete or you're some kind of performer, you know, like having your banner, like a banner hung up with your, you know, name on it, or your team, the year that you won some competition, state or regionals or whatever. And, you know, how a lot of times we strive for things like that. And those things are cool. And, you know, if you're on a team, you should definitely strive to do well, but that our legacy should not be focused on, you know, bringing attention to ourselves or glory for us. It should be focused on Christ. So our theme verses, which I just skipped on the slide, is Philippians 2, 15 and 16, which say that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And so the main thrust of that, or the main point of that, is to be lights in wherever we are. Like, where we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. There's a lot of things going on, you know, that are not necessarily aligned with God. And so, you know, our goal as a Christian, if you're born again, you should be living your life in such a way that you're a light and drawing attention not to yourself, but to Christ that lives in you. And so the point of this series is to talk about that. So you guys need Bibles? Everybody else have Bibles?
Keep talking.
Okay, fruit of the Spirit. What do you guys know about it?
Part of the song.
What?
What's the song?
Well, how many fruit of the Spirit are there? Anybody know?
Nine, right?
Nine, yes. Good job. Do you have all these written down yet? You're really messing up my slides here.
Okay,
I'm trying to advance them. Thank you, Brendan, for being the only Gen Z alpha person, huh?
That's what I was trying to do, but I don't really have a good way to do that right now, so thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Everybody get what they need?
I'm good.
Okay. All right, fruit of the Spirit.
Okay.
There's nine. Great. Anybody know what they are?
Love, joy, peace.
That's one. That's three.
Long suffering.
That's another one. Yep. Yep.
Did you get her?
That's
yes. Huh?
Like 5, 9 or something.
Close.
Love, joy, peace.
5, 10.
Patience,
long suffering,
gentleness,
kindness.
Isn't that right there?
There's the nine. Love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. My next question was, where is it found? Jackson's pretty darn close. Jackson handed him his Bible. Never mind, he's got it. Okay. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. So turn there. Somebody that gets there first in those church Bibles, tell me what page number it's on.
No.
It's a race. Who's going to win? Okay. What do the fruit of the Spirit mean? Anybody know?
Like how we should
act. I know, I see it.
1634.
What are the fruit of the Spirit?
1559.
1559, ladies. Page 1559.
Like what we should strive to have. Or strive to be.
Yeah. They are the fruit of walking in the Spirit over time. So when you walk in the Spirit, which we talked about on Wednesday night, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We talked about that Wednesday. So when you walk in the Spirit, the fruit of that, what happens because of that, is the fruit of the Spirit. Somebody read Galatians 5, 22 and 23.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
Okay, so those are the things that we're striving for as Christians. That is the fruit of a life lived walking in the Spirit. What happens when we read our Bible regularly, when we pray, when we try to live our life according to what the Word of God says, when we tell other people about Jesus, when we do these things, we are going to learn to, or we're going to become, or start loving the way that God loves. Now, you can love without walking in the Spirit, but as far as loving the way that God loves, loving people who are unlovable, loving people when they don't deserve to have your love, those kinds of things, loving them enough to be honest with them about, you know, the fact that they're on their way to hell if they're lost. Loving them those ways is one of those things. Joy. How do we have joy in our life? Everybody wants to know how to be happier. But, yeah, we have the joy down in our heart. To have joy, you walk in the Spirit. How do we have peace? Everybody has anxiety and stress and problems. Not that you won't have those things if you walk in the Spirit, but you'll have a different level of peace. You'll have long suffering. You'll deal with people and deal with situations that are stressful and frustrating and hard to deal with. You'll suffer through those things long with joy and with love and with peace and all of those things. I'm not going to go through the whole list, but we're going to kind of break these down over the coming weeks and talk about each one of these fruits of the Spirit. All right, turn to John chapter 15. I know you just got settled. Oh my gosh.
No, I'm sorry.
So sorry.
I lost my place.
Oh, well, you don't need your place because now we're in John 15. John 15. Somebody with the church Bible tell me the number, page number it's on.
1438.
Ladies, 1438. All right. John 15, verse 4 says, "Abide in me, and I..." Sorry, you guys aren't there yet. Was it 1438? Okay. "Abide in me," this is Jesus talking, "and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." Okay, so this passage is talking about the concept of bearing fruit, and how do we bear fruit. So a lot of times when we're talking about, I had those verses up here, I didn't have time to turn them. We're talking about bearing fruit. What are we normally talking about in a Christian context or in a spiritual context? What is it? We're talking about making disciples. We're talking about sharing the gospel with people, right? When somebody gets saved, we talk about that as bearing fruit. And that's accurate. We should say that. That's a fine way to describe it. But when we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, those fruit, like showing up in our life, comes from this passage right here, abiding in Christ and Christ abiding in us. Okay, so Christ abides in us through salvation, right? When we get saved, Christ abides in us. And he tells us in verse 4 that we need to abide in him and he needs to abide in us. And so how do we bear fruit is only through abiding in Christ. And it says in the next verse that he's the vine and we're the branches. And so a branch, if you cut it off of a tree, can't bear fruit anymore, right? There's nothing that branch is going to slowly die because it's not connected to the tree. It's not connected to the rest of the plant. It doesn't have the root system to get the water and all of those things. And so us as Christians, we are the branch and we're attached to Christ when we get saved. And the only way that we can bear fruit is if we abide in him. And so as I was reading through this passage, in those five verses, the word abide shows up, or abideth, shows up six different times in that passage. And so I told you guys we're going to do some like word studies and things. So I just wanted to kind of do like a brief, let me get some definitions on the word abide. I'll look up first mentions and I'll look up a few things. And I thought it would be kind of quick. It ended up taking me a lot longer than I thought. There's a lot to this definition of the word abide. So it shows up 82 times in the Bible, and then abideth shows up 30 more times in the Bible. And most of the time when we're talking about doing word studies, if you guys have been in here for a little while, we talk about it like we look up how many times the word shows up. We look up where the first time it shows up. We read that. Maybe we read a few other verses. And we try to figure out, based on the first time it shows up, what does God say and how does he use that word? And then, that trend tends to continue throughout the Bible. How he uses it the first time, it tends to kind of set the tone for how he's going to use it the remainder of the Bible. And obviously, there's different contexts and stuff. So it does fluctuate, but it kind of sets the tone. So what I noticed when I looked up the word abideth, I looked that one up first. It shows up in Numbers 31:23. We don't have time to turn there. That's the first time the word abideth shows up, is Numbers 31:23. And as I read it, it was not the definition that I was kind of thinking that it would be. And so I started thinking, like, okay, that's not really what I was expecting it, because based on this context right here, when we're talking about when Jesus is saying, abide in me, and I need to abide in you, and abide, what is he talking about? What is the definition of, or how is he using that word abide? What does Jesus mean when he says, abide in me and I in you? What's he talking about? Live in him, live through him, yes. Like stay with him, like spend time with him, dwell with him, those kinds of things. But when I started looking up in the Old Testament, that's not how that word abide or abideth is used in the Old Testament. That's not the definition of those words. And so I started thinking about, okay, well, the Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew, right? By Moses and David and all the prophets. Like, they wrote in Hebrew. And then the New Testament is written in what language? The originals of the New Testament. Greek, yeah. So the Old Testament was almost exclusively written in Hebrew. There's a few passages that were in Aramaic. And the New Testament was written, maybe I think completely, in Greek originally. Of course, we don't have those original manuscripts. But when you're looking at the Hebrew word versus the Greek word, the definitions are a little bit different. So I started kind of thinking about, okay, well, where does the first time that it shows up in the New Testament? And let's see how those times are different than the other times. And so I wasn't sure how easily it would be to read. Any of you guys ever used a Strong's Concordance? Have you guys ever seen definitions of words like this? So, like, the H's are for Hebrew, so these are the Hebrew words in this book that this guy named Strong put together. He's got the definition or the pronunciation of the Hebrew word. So this word abide, I don't know, kana, yasha, there's all these different versions of the word. Abide, and then he's got definitions for all of them. I'm not going to read through all these definitions, but just to give you guys an idea. So in the Old Testament, the word abide, so this first one says, properly to incline, by implication to decline, specifically to pitch a tent, generally to encamp. So it's talking about like abiding, like you're setting up camp, like you're staying, you're going to like lodge there. The next one over there says, properly to sit down, by implication, to dwell, to remain, causatively to settle, to marry. The next one says, to stop, by implication, to stay permanently. So you're going somewhere and you're going to stop and you're going to dwell there. You're going to stay there. To stand, properly to impinge, that is to cling or to adhere. Then you've got properly to turn aside from the road for a lodging or any other purpose, that is to sojourn. Okay, there's a lot of stuff on there. I'm not going to like bore you guys with definitions of words and things like that. But there's a lot of different ways that that Hebrew word shows up in the Old Testament. There's another page of them. Whoops, there's like five more. Of all these different ways that the word abide shows up in the Old Testament. So, like, if you think about in English, if you were going to translate a word to Spanish or some other language, depending on the context, you might use a slightly different word, right? So in Hebrew, there's several different words, and they kind of all have, like, we're talking about dwell, or stay, or lodge, or sleep overnight, or all these different ways that we would say kind of the same thing. When you translate those into another language, there may be different words for that, or it may all just kind of be one lumped together word. Does that make sense? Like, different languages use in different ways. So, in the Old Testament, there's nine different ways that the word abide is translated, where it shows up in English as abide. But it means all these different things. But a lot of those aren't really what we're talking. We're not talking about, like, you know, setting up a camp and staying overnight. I mean, that is a little bit of kind of what we're talking about. We're talking about dwelling with Christ. But it's not really exactly the same as what this passage in the New Testament is talking about. There's a lot of, like, other things going on. Abideth, that only shows up in the Old Testament as this one word. To go or to come. Abide, apply, attain, befall, besiege, bring. Like, this is not the kind of word abide that we're generally talking about when we use the... I mean, we don't use the word abide very often. I mean, when's the last time you guys said the word abide? That's not very often. But this is not really exactly what we're looking at. So I started looking at, okay, when does it show up in the New Testament? And how does God use it in the New Testament? So the word abide in the New Testament, I think it's just these four times. Yeah. There's four different words in Greek But they all mean almost exactly the same thing. So to stay in a given place, to stay over, to stay near, to stay further, that is to remain in a place. And then the last one, to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. So all of these, while there's four different ones, four different words, they all basically mean almost exactly the same thing. They all mean to stay. And so when we're talking about doing word studies, this is like, 3 minutes of a hour and a half study that I did on it, and I didn't even get that far into it. I mean, there's a lot that you can get from this, but the more you like dive into these words and you start to like look at definitions and you start to see how God uses the word and how that changes sometimes, it just gives you a little bit deeper understanding of what he's talking about when Jesus says that he wants us to abide in him. And so like, he wants us to stay with him. All of those words, are all of those definitions in the New Testament, in the Greek word, all start with to stay near, to spend time with, to stay over, to, you know, all those things, to stay with Christ. And so when he says, abide in me, stay with me, Jesus is like, hey, spend time with me. Like, stay with me, and then he says, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. The branch can't bear fruit unless it stays connected to the tree. Like, that's the only way that it's going to happen, is if it stays connected. The only way that we're going to bear fruit in our life is if we stay connected to Jesus. Okay, so is to abide with him. All right, last passage. We're going to go through this quick. Galatians chapter 6. Go back to the page, unless you're still in Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. Back where the fruit of the Spirit was. Oh, I have it on the screen, actually. I forgot to put it in there. Somebody read it. I almost started in verse 6 just to avoid that. But I was like, God, why'd you have to put this in chapter 6, verse 7?
You know, seed, God is not mocked, for whosoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Alright, so we talked about this a little bit on Wednesday night also, about this idea of if you feed the flesh is going to be stronger. Right? If you always do what you want to do, then you're going to expect to get what you want all the time. Like, if your flesh wants to sleep in longer and you let it sleep in longer, you're going to get used to that. It's going to be harder to overcome that. If that becomes the habit, like, well, I just do whatever my flesh wants. Sometimes it's good for us to do hard things that, like, our body doesn't want to do. You know, like, it doesn't want to do something. It doesn't want to get up early. It doesn't want to sit down and read the Bible. It doesn't want to do things that it should do. So sometimes we have to make our flesh do those things. And so if we constantly are feeding the flesh and letting it do whatever it wants, then that's going to get stronger and stronger. It's going to be harder for us to overcome that. But if we feed the Spirit, if we abide in Christ, if we spend our time doing the things that our Spirit wants. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. If you do the things that the Spirit wants, the things that it needs to feed, like it needs for you to be reading your Bible. It needs for you to spend some time studying your Bible, looking up what these words mean. How is God using them? There's so much stuff going on in the Bible. The Spirit needs us to do those things in order to get stronger. Not that the Holy Spirit needs us, but in order for it to have more control over our life, we need to do things that are uncomfortable for our flesh sometimes. It's uncomfortable for us to go up to someone and try to talk to them about Jesus. It's uncomfortable for us to pray in public. How many of you guys, when you go out to a restaurant with your parents, bow your head and pray over your meal, and you're kind of like, dude, I hope nobody looks over here. I hope the waiter doesn't come up while we're praying. Like, it can be kind of weird to pray in public, right? It can be weird to pray at school. If you've ever done that, if you're sitting in school and you're about to eat your lunch and you pray over your lunch, you know, you're trying to like do it really quick, maybe where nobody sees, or you just kind of hang your head, but you don't close your eyes. You don't want anybody to look at you weird because you're praying over your lunch. Do you guys pray over your lunches at school? Like, as a school, do they pray over your?
We do. It kind of depends.
Your school does, or just some guys at school?
We do in freshman.
Okay.
It
just going to be doing something in class, and they'll be like, okay. But a lot of times our class gets out before.
Okay. So it's a little different for you because you're in a Christian school, but most schools are not, schools are not, in general, not doing that. But that's cool that you guys are doing that. It's like weird to do that at the beginning, especially. What are people going to think if they look over and see this? Or what if you carry your Bible to school? Those kinds of things that we talked about, like at camp, it's important to do those things because those things feed the spiritual side. And it hurts our flesh. It's awkward and it's weird and it's important for us to try to overcome those things in our flesh and not give in to what it wants all the time. And so this passage is telling us what you sow, that's what you're going to reap. So if you sow, like this says, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. So if you're always giving your flesh what it wants, what you're going to get back in return is destruction, corruption. You're going to get back bad things, right? If you are feeding the Spirit, the second half of that verse, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Okay, so that's not, we don't get life everlasting. We get life everlasting when we get saved, right? We have eternal life when we accept Christ. But when we sow to the Spirit, when we're doing things, when we're abiding in Christ and we're doing things according to what the Spirit wants and what the Spirit needs in our life, that's going to come about in life everlasting for other people. Other people are going to see that and want to know what we have. That's the light. That's how what we're supposed to be the light in Philippians chapter 2. And so the principle of sowing and reaping, the principle of abiding in Christ, that's how we're going to reproduce fruit. And so when we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, as we get deeper into these over the next few weeks, the way that we have fruit in our life, spiritual fruit, is by abiding in Christ. And when we sow that way, when we invest in spiritual things, when we plant spiritual seeds, so to speak, whether that's gospel sharing or that's just in our own life, we're planting seeds of discipline in our life when it comes to spiritual things, then we're going to reap. There's going to be a fruit of that, which is we're going to have the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to be able to begin to love like Jesus Christ loves us. We're going to have joy. We're going to have peace. We're going to have long suffering. We're going to have all these different character qualities because, we've sowed spiritual things in our life. We've abided in Christ, and now that's going to produce fruit in our life. And it's not like one day you just say, okay, I'm going to live for the Spirit today. I'm going to get up this morning, I'm going to read my Bible, and then tomorrow that fruit is going to grow, and I'm going to have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all these things happening in my life because I did this one thing yesterday. That's not how it works. When do farmers plant corn? Do you know when Doug plants his corn? It's like in April, I think, March, April time frame. Okay, and then when does he harvest it?
Fall.
Like in the fall. It takes months, right? That's one crop. Some crops grow faster, some crops go slower. When you plant trees, you're waiting years for a tree to have any kind of fruit. Most trees, are not producing fruit for a couple years. Sometimes even longer than that. There's a Christmas tree farm in Pleasant Hill that we drive by. If you ever go up and down between Harrisonville and Pleasant Hill on 7 Highway, there's a Christmas tree farm. And they have rows and rows of trees at various different stages. And I don't know how many years it takes to get to where it's mature enough for them to cut them down for Christmas trees. But there's saplings that are 8 inches tall. And then they got trees that are 8 feet tall or maybe even taller than that. And so but they have to plant them, they have to water them, they have to wait years and years and years. And then when they have grown to whatever height they need to grow to for people to use them as Christmas trees, then they cut them down, people come buy their Christmas trees there. Okay, so it takes years for some of these things to happen. And so you're not going to love like Jesus. You're not going to have joy and peace, manifest itself in your life just because one day you did the right thing. It takes abiding. Abiding implies that it's going to be for a period of time, right? You don't abide for one day. You abide over time. And so these fruit of the Spirit happen because you spend time over time with Jesus. So questions, if you guys are taking notes or you want to take a picture of it. Are you abiding in Christ? Can you see any of the fruit of the Spirit in your life? If you've been saved and at this church for a while, you should be able to see some of these characteristics in your life because you should have been living your life and you've been attending a church that's been trying to help you and encourage you and teach you and train you up so that you can live your life this way. So you should have some evidence of these fruits in your life. What areas would you like to improve on? It's different for all of us. Some of us are going to be better at certain things than others, but you know, which of those nine fruit of the Spirit are you doing well at? Which of those nine fruit of the Spirit do you want to see yourself do better at? Okay? You got to put yourself in situations to do those things. If you want to, you know, have more joy in your life, you're going to have to put yourself in situations where God, you know, can allow you to exercise that muscle of being joyous in a difficult or hard or frustrating, whatever type of situation. If you want to have some more faith, you know, God's going to have to work that thing out. You're going to have to exercise that particular muscle. So the more time you abide in Christ, the more opportunities he's going to give you to work out these different areas of your life. So think about what areas are doing well, which areas would you like to work on. And we'll dive into, we'll talk about love next week. We'll start breaking down that one. Does anybody have any questions or comments or concerns? Nobody has anything? Okay, great. Let's pray. And then let's go. Dear God, thank you for this morning, God. Thank you for these fruit of the Spirit. Thank you, God, just for the idea of abiding in you. Thank you that you desire to abide in us, God. We don't deserve it. We're not worthy of it. And God, I don't know a lot of times why you love us the way you do. And God, we're just grateful that you do. And God, help us to just want to abide in you as well, God. Help us to live our lives in such a way that it's evident, God, that we want to spend time with you. And God, help us as we do spend time with you that, God, just produce fruit in our life. The word says that that will happen, God. But just help, just remind us and encourage us by seeing these things happen in our life, God. Help these students to just see evidence and changes in the way that they live their life and in their heart attitude toward people and toward difficult situations. God, help us all to just strive to do better in those areas. And God, when we do get frustrated, when we don't feel like we have joy or peace or long-suffering or any of these different traits, God, if we do feel like there's something missing, God, help us to just pray about that. Help us to abide in you. Help us to seek out your word. And what does it say, God, about love? How do you love? And how can we be more like that? God, next week as we get into studying out love and how it works out in the Bible, God, help us to see those things and allow ourselves to put ourselves in situations where maybe we're around people who are not lovable. And God, help us to just love them anyways. Love them enough to tell them about you at least. And so, God, I just thank you and praise you for this day. I pray for Blade as he's getting ready to preach to us. God, I just ask that you would just give him the words. Be with Pastor Brian as he's preaching in Ohio this morning. God, I just pray that you would give him a safe return tomorrow when he comes back. And God, just thank you for everything that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.